Okay. tonight we are on page 69, chapter 10, the General Service Office, in the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual. Again, please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout the presentation as he sees fit, and we will get started with questions from last week. Billy, you'll have until a few minutes to the top of the hour. The time is yours.
Thanks, Billy Alcoholic. Okay, from last week. How important is attendance to the 2025 convention with regards to the General Service Board Reserve Fund? So I'm putting money aside for a second. I would tell anyone that the International Convention is pretty incredible. However, based on my own experience, my friends' experience, people I've met experience, and having been someone that has read a lot of the feedback forms, I would tell you that the meetings there are not the highlight of the experience. Unless, of course, you wanted to parse certain sections out. Like watching the flag ceremony when every flag comes in, right? And when it's in the US, the Canadian flag is first and the US flag is last. When it's in Canada, the US flag is first and the Canadian flag is last. And then when the Irish flag comes in, thinking, is Ireland like double the size of the United States and Canada with the amount of people that are clapping? The flag ceremony is amazing. Regardless whether you hate the Lord's Prayer, love the Lord's Prayer, I'm not into that argument. Being in a stadium and being part of 50,000, 60,000 people saying the prayer together, closing, is pretty incredible. So if I separated those two out, that is maybe certain. But it's not what people talk about the most. What people talk about the most is the people they meet on the street, on the buses, on the trams, on the trains, their stories of getting there in rest areas where there's like a, you know us, it's pretty easy to spot us even if we don't have any bumper stickers on our car. We like to claim we're anonymous, but we are pretty easy to find. So just separate from money, I just want to say that it is an incredible, incredible experience, especially to meet so many people from so many different places at the same time. So the effect on the reserve fund. Technically, there should be really very little. The International Convention is priced to be self-supporting. But when you think about it, thank God we do it the way we do. Imagine we did for the International Convention what we did for the Grapevine. And I'm not being anti-Grapevine. I'm just calling like the way we spend money, just pointing it out. The International Convention, we do add up all the expenses and we are conservative and we don't use low numbers. Like, we try to make sure that we have accounted for every dime. And then we divide that by the estimated number of attendees. And we come up with a registration price. Now, I see registration is now going to be September 10th in the morning. You'll be able to register for the International Convention. But we charge the actual price for the International Convention, which is not what we do for the Grapevine. For the Grapevine, we charge a price much less than if it was based on the actual number of subscribers. Thank God we don't do that for the International Convention, because we're not in a position now with the reserve fund where we could do that, where we could afford it with 6.1 months. Only there, not our minimum of 9. But I would say this, if people decided not to go, yes, if we lost money, it would affect our reserve fund. It would come out of there. any loss. I hear lots of crazy talk about people not being allowed in Canada. I really wish that we would cut that talk out. First of all, I wish we would be fair. The United States is just as tough on Canadians as we are, as they are on Americans in letting us into their country. The United States is not a picnic to get into. I don't know. I worked at the airport in 2005. I was an appointed committee member. One of the days of the convention, my job was to be at the airport to deal with any member issues. I don't know of anyone who was turned away, except for people who lied to the officers at the border. So I'll make a little public service announcement. They're not asking you questions because they don't know the answers. They're asking you questions to see if you will tell the truth. They have their FBI screen right in front of them. We share 100% share transparent information with Canada. So when they say, "Have you ever?" they already know that you ever have done that. They just want to know if you're willing to tell them that. It's a big economic boom for whatever city gets it in America or Canada. We spend more money than the Democratic and Republican national conventions combined, if you don't know that. In the outside third-party convention world, we are the largest. We're only every 5 years, we're not every year or every 2 years. But when you compare us to like AARP, when you compare us to those two political conventions, we're the largest. And we're the largest, and we're not even spending money a lot on booze, right? Maybe a guest here and there, but we're the largest. We have problems like the cash machines run out, right? So I would just tell anybody that if you can go, I'm not telling you to be irresponsible, but if you can go, you should try and go. So let's see. Is the app of 28,000 or paper? Won't just addressing it via excess revenue over expenses could take many years to get the fund to its required level. Seems to me we need something more drastic than that. Is there a plan to bring AA Grapevine into a self-funded corporation? Is it fair to say because the AA board says they are not responsible for group actions, then the board cannot reprimand any group? So who oversees the group? So that's a couple of different questions all lumped into one. Let's take the app. There is definitely a disturbing trend regarding the Grapevine app. If you, again, I can only go by real numbers, not by, making up theories or opinions. I'm more of a numbers person. I'm just going to pull something up. Let me just find the AA Grapevine. So the 5-year plan for the new app, according to now, we're 7 months really into the 8th month of 2024. We planned on having 28,000 subscribers. I know sometimes I hear reports on that we're the most downloaded app, but downloads don't mean jack if you don't subscribe. So the downloads, that's kind of like counting how many people go into a car dealer instead of counting how many actually buy a car. So 28,000, we're currently at 10,000 subscriptions on the app. That's 65% below target. So that 5-year plan, because once we go into 2025, which is only another 5 months away, our plan for 2025 to be self-supporting was to have 55,000 subscriptions to the app. Our plan by 2026 was to have a total of 71,000. So, and as you know, we've taken $1 million out to go along on this project. So that's the app subscription. 28,000 is the number for this year. If you went to the paid magazine circulation average for this year, we were looking to have 42,000, and for next year, no, this year 47,000, next year 42,000, 2025, 37,000. So they are steadily declining how many written hard copy subscriptions they think we will have. I don't know what the recipe is for the Grapevine. I know what its current charter says. It's supposed to be self-supporting through magazine subscriptions. We sell books at the Grapevine to help it out, but books was never supposed to like make a difference. And now books are over 50% of the net profit of the Grapevine. So we're definitely heading, the fellowship's going to have to decide. If the Grapevine doesn't have enough money, it comes out of the reserve fund. And everybody should know this does not count Lavinia. So it's important to understand that. Lavinia is paid for by the General Service Board. So we charge a subscription price for Lavinia, but whatever that is short in the cost to produce Lavinia, the General Service Board pays, which means AAWS pays. The General Service Board gives service money to AAWS. Last year, Lavinia was short around $600,000. The year before that, $700,000. When you put that together with the Grapevine, in the last couple of years, we're losing $1 million a year with the two of them. So I don't know what the magic bullet is. I know this, if the average cost for the I don't have what it is in front of me this year for the international convention. It must be like 150 or 180 bucks, somewhere like that. Imagine we only charged 80 and we just said we'll let the GSB pay for it. We could never afford to do that. So I don't know what the future is going to look like. Maybe the Grapevine should just be a service. A lot of people say that. Maybe it doesn't need to be every month. Maybe it could be every 2 months. I don't know. Maybe it could go back to the way it used to be before Lavinia, where Spanish and English were in the same magazine. I don't know. I do know that it's definitely a challenge, and it's a reason for you to keep your GSR informed and to keep your delegate informed and to make sure you're getting the right accurate numbers. Let's just see. Next question from last week. What is the latest on moving the GSO to a new location? Okay. They're not moving. That's the latest. Just in case you haven't heard that, that's what was reported at this year's conference. There's no doubt that there's a lot of reasons. Maybe another part of the country makes sense. But let's face it. No matter where it goes, people are going to want it someplace else. It doesn't matter where it goes. Are there more affordable places? Maybe. You have to remember that sometimes we call the building we're in the interfaith building, but the true name is the interchurch building. I think we just don't like to say the word church. But the real name of the building is the interchurch building. That building is only rents 80% or more to nonprofits. That's the way that building remains nonprofit, well, the trust that owns it. We pay a very low fee for the space that we have square foot wise. Would we be able to find some cheaper places? Yes. But the average consultant or the consultants tell us that the average it's going to cost us one time to move is going to be somewhere between $5 and $7 million. There's a lot of things involved with moving. We would have to reincorporate three corporations. I see someone shaking their head, but yes, most nonprofits have to be headquartered in the state that they're domiciled in. A New York nonprofit would not be valid in another state if its headquarters were there. The other big problem is we are a good employer. So if anybody has heard different, I just want to make sure that you hear it from someone who is on the boards. We treat our employees well and we treat them fairly. We're just not going to take 20 and 30 year employees and lay them off and give them 2 weeks' pay if we move. We don't know what percentage would go or move, but we would have to take care of them properly. Then you would have to think about how long would we have to hire people before we move? Like, let's just say, I'm going to use the number right now, 80. Let's just say we have 80 full-time employees at GSO, not counting the Grapevine. Let's say that 40 of them are not going to go. Well, could we just move and have the new people start the day we're in the new office? No way. That would be complete bedlam. We would probably have to have a transition period where we hire the new people for 3 or 4 months before we move to work with the current people who aren't going to move with us. And so the payroll burden would be astronomical. So at this time, the trustees have said that because we only have 6.1 months money in the bank is not the optimal time to spend a couple of million dollars to move. Maybe when the reserve fund gets back up to where it was, maybe that would be a time to go. But as for right now, not yet. The decision this year was not to do it. Let's see. Is it fair to say that because the AA board says they are not responsible for group actions, then the board cannot reprimand any group? That is very fair to say. The board is not responsible for the actions of groups. I find it very dangerous that inner groups and districts let groups use their insurance. I think that is creating a legal connection between inner groups and districts and groups that we never meant or wanted to be there, but some do it. The only thing that we do is if we think you're not a group in a very rare situation, we will delist you. Delisting is a bad, bad phrase at the board level. We don't even like to use it or talk about it. Does it happen though? Yes. It happens more on a local level at inner groups of delisting groups. But every once in a while, a group's conduct is so different than what an AA group is supposed to do that they may be delisted. Especially groups that are very public about their behavior that goes against AA. The last group I can think about that was delisted, I will not mention the state, but there were some indictments regarding a death, regarding the group's very public policy of telling people who come there to not take medication of any kind. And a local prosecutor had enough and took some very swift and decisive action against some individuals. I know that group was delisted. But yeah, we don't control groups. We have to keep an arm's length away. If you're interested, I know there's probably a couple of people here, but when we were in the lawsuit many years ago regarding the murder of the member, the woman in California, there is a public declaration. A affidavit that was submitted to the courts by our general manager using her legal title of president of AA World Services at the time. That affidavit spells out the relationship of the General Service Board, AAWS, and the General Service Office to groups and intergroups. I think some people, the way they talk in AA, would be very surprised what it says. That somehow delegates have some power to be investigating groups or, yeah, none of that. It actually uses the terminology of comparing us to more like a book club than a membership organization. Like, we'll send you some books, we'll send you a newsletter, and we'll let you self-declare if you're a group. We don't say you're a group, you say you're a group. And if you say you're a group, we'll mail you some information because we keep in touch with groups. But we don't tell you what to do. And there's a lot of reasons for this. People don't understand. Many times a month, a couple of times a month, somewhere in the United States, one of the boards gets sued. AAWS, the General Service Board, AA Grapevine, sometimes all three, sometimes a lot of, very often AAWS and the General Service Board. And they're for all kinds of things that have nothing to do with us. Therefore, the Alano Club that didn't shovel their snow properly and somebody fell down and broke their hip. Therefore, the meeting that meets at St. Joseph's Church on Thursday night, and St. Joseph's Church has bad lighting in the parking lot and somebody fell walking out to their car. Therefore, I know shocking, but the every once in a while fist fight that develops at one of our meetings, and someone decides to sue us. We even had a lawsuit when I was on the board, a pro se, which means the person did not have a lawyer. They filed it themselves. But it was a lawsuit accusing us of having a satellite that was controlling people, on the planet Earth. So you have to remember that all kinds of people walk into our rooms, right? I mean, we're not judging, we just accept it. But it costs some money to send a lawyer to court and have the case dismissed. Often we have to show that we have no relationship with the group or the clubhouse. But this firewall, so to speak, has been there for a long time. And as such, we cannot tell the groups what to do. I was just asked, is the affidavit a public document? It is. It was filed in court, very public. If you would want one, I will just put my email there. You can send me an email sometime this week. I'll send it to you. Yeah, I have no problem sending it because a lot of people have it. It was filed in an active case. And you might understand this again, going back to our peculiar membership, which I say as a compliment, not as a shot. When we have a case against us and the federal court system and some state systems, they log every document that comes in, and you can actually get a sign on and you can get an alert anytime there's a new document in the case. When I was on the board, sometimes I would get documents from people in AA before the AA lawyer actually sent them to me. They'd be like, "Oh, Billy, this just got filed. Have you read this yet?" Now, I'm not going to comment to them because I'm still on the board, but I'm just letting you know. Yes, I hope the last time we learned a message about communicating to our fellowship, when we just tell the groups and the GSRs and the delegates, we're not going to tell you what's going on. That might be a good strategy regarding our legal strategy. We don't have to tell you our strategy, but public documents, people can get them anyway. If we won't provide them, it just makes it look like we have something to hide. And that's always been my view as a member of the board. Let me just see if there are any other questions from last week. This is a new idea that I haven't had time to think about. What are the negative implications of an intergroup negotiating for lower bulk insurance rates and providing a product for the groups? I would have a lawyer in your state give you Very good, competent legal advice. I am not a lawyer, but I am an insurance professional licensed in 21 states. I would never tell an in-a-group, I would never tell them to let anyone else use their certificate of insurance or name them on an insurance policy because lawyers are very creative and very smart. And if you give them an inch, they will take a mile. And it is easy to draw a tell a story that somehow the inner group is in charge of the groups. But that's up to each individual inner group. The other thing I would tell you while we're on this insurance thing, because it's a big topic these days, most of the people who ask us for insurance. And if you want to take a note or two, be my guest, but I'll just tell you the problem in AA. Most of the organizations that ask us for insurance, which are usually libraries, community centers, and churches, places where we meet, when they ask you for an insurance certificate, they really don't care if you have insurance. That's not what they're worried about. They want you to name them as an additional insured on their on your insurance policy. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for protection that if they get sued, your insurance policy will defend them. Here's the problem with all those insurance policies. They all have writing in them, like 99% of them in America. That you are an additional insured if required by written contract. Do you know how many groups in America or Canada have written contracts with the places they meet in? It has to be like maybe on the high end, 20%, maybe. So please get competent advice on insurance. And when I say competent, I don't mean like the lawyer who's in your group. I mean like someone who's independent, who can give you 2 cents without their money being involved. I'm sorry I'm late. Did Billy say GSO has 6 months of operating budget in the bank? I heard we were in financial distress from some people. Others said no, we were in great shape. You know what I love about that question? Here's what I love. We're somewhere in the middle. Those are the extremes you hear in AA. We're going out of business tomorrow, or some trusted servants will tell you we don't have one financial problem right now. Both of those statements are very false. We're somewhere in the middle. We should have 6 to 9 months of reserve, 6 to 9 to 12 months of reserve. Right now we have six. But remember, that's 6 months if $0 was coming in. So I want to stress that. If we go on hard times, would we lose all of our money all at once every month? Or maybe it would decrease by 20 or 50%. Even if we lost 50% of our contributions a month, then our reserve fund would be good for a year, not 6 months currently. I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying we can't be super alarmists. But we also can't be dismissive of the AA members who care and ask questions. So that's why I think it's somewhere in the middle. If an AA member asks a question about finances, there's nothing worse than an AA leader just dismissing them. Or calling them a conspiracy theorist just because they're asking a question. That doesn't help any of us. But we are somewhere in the middle. And listen, I just gave you the Grapevine 5-year plan. And remember, they borrowed $1 million from the reserve fund, is currently 65% under performance. And when 2025 comes, we'll be like 80% underperformance. We can't survive at those numbers for sure. We can't keep losing 600,000 a year on Lavinia. I mean, we want to do it, but we can't keep losing that. So I think the trustees deserve great credit for what they've done so far since the pandemic. So I would have no problem saying that. If you run into my friend Tom, who's a Southeast Regional trustee, you can tell him Billy said the trustees deserve great credit because he always thinks I'm so hard on them. Now, if I were to go to the other side of the street, there's no way an organization in the shape we're in should be spending more money this year than last year. If it was your household, you would not do that. If it was your family's food and income and clothes and shelter, rent, mortgage, you would not do that. Last year, our expenses were 17 point something million. This year, our budget expenses are 19 million. So while I credit the trustees for getting us through the pandemic and getting us through to today, we can't keep going at the method we're going. Number one, we'll never be able to repay the reserve fund for sure. So it's smart that people are not extremists. They're practical with common sense and not attacking or accusing people of mismanagement and stuff, but instead just looking for real information. The groups, through their delegates, don't want to make the hard decisions. This is not a board problem. And this is the perfect thing to be talking about. These questions from last year are perfect for last week for talking about GSO tonight, and that if the groups, through their delegates, through the agenda items at the conference, keep asking for new projects, we're going to keep spending money. And as someone who was on the AWS board for 8 years, I can tell you one thing that we are super, super good at. We are great at starting new projects before we finish the ones we're working on. We are so good at that, we should teach it. The problem with that is the amount of money that it costs. And let's face it, I can see all your names, some of you on camera, some are not. But let's face it, let's use a family as an example. When a family sits around a table, and even if one of the parents or both say, we're going to have to tighten the belt. No raises this year from where we work. The economy's in rough shape. We all have to think about this coming 12 months and where could we save some money. Here's the problem with that conversation. I always think it's a good idea if we don't spend money on your idea, not mine. My idea or what I think we should spend money on is always more important than what you think you want to spend money on. And that's the problem at GSO and particularly at the conference, is all the delegates and groups talk a big game about cutting money. And then what do? We want three new pamphlets, two new books, a couple of new public service announcements. How can we possibly catch up on saving money if we're doing that? It's not possible. If you have six people around your dining room table, your four kids and they're teenagers and a little older in college and the two parents and if one of the kids says, last year I went to lacrosse camp, this year I want to go to lacrosse and soccer camp, If the other kid says, last year I went to cheerleading camp, but next year I want to go to cheerleading camp and gymnastics camp. And then the dad says, I've been a member at my one golf course for 20 years, but I'd like to have a different alternative. So next year I want to belong to two golf clubs. I mean, nobody ever wants to cut something that affects themselves. And all I'm saying is that rather than beating up the board, I think the groups are going to have to take some responsibility through their delegates at the conference about our pattern of spending. Because it's really easy to spend when it's not your money. It's really easy to spend when it's someone else's money. So let's just talk about GSO for a little bit. I know the service manual is being reformatted. I have no clue as to what it's going to look like. Some of you have heard me say, I've said it since this new red one came out. I'm a big fan. I was on the board when we first started talking about this book. I love that it's only in a large size. I love there's plenty of room for notes. I love the diagrams are much better than easy on the eyes and visual. I love the appendixes, the way they put them in order. All of that is great. If you're asking me what I think they might change, it would be these chapters. I'm not sure there needs to be a separate chapter on GSO when the next chapter is AAWS and GSO is really part of AAWS. It's just not a legal entity. But GSO is where our employees work. We even have stationery that says GSO, General Service Office. We have a lot of different stationery in New York. We have the blue stationery, which is usually the General Service Office, which will change as soon as it might change this month. The year leading into the International Convention, we'll have International Convention stationery for GSO. But then AAWS uses green stationery for anything that's AAWS business. Then the General Service Board has its own stationery. And then AA Grapevine has its own stationery. Now, this becomes kind of a convoluted conversation. It took us until 2017 or 16 to have the sign on the 11th floor say General Service Office, AA World Services, AA Grapevine. That was heresy to some people because we were always on different floors and GSO was on 11 and Grapevine was on 10. So I love the fact that we kind of are past a little bit of that craziness. GSO is really a location. It's where we work. However, it bleeds over into other things we do. So the AA Grapevine staff work at GSO. I think we can all agree on that. They work at 475 Riverside Drive. However, we call AA Grapevine staff AA Grapevine staff. We do not call AAWS staff AAWS staff. We call them GSO staff. We always have. That's where the separation was built years ago. But AAWS, which we will talk about next week, is divided into two parts. It's the service operation and it's the publishing operation. The AAWS board is the board that the office management reports to for those two particular sides of the organization, the service and the publishing. Back a long time ago, there was an AA publishing operation, but that became AAWS. Inside the GSO chapter, which makes sense because it's only. So that's why these chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12. We have the operating corporations in chapter 9 that we did last week. The operating corporations are AAWS and the AA Grapevine. So we have chapter 9, but then we have a chapter 10 and 11, or 11 and 12, about the operating corporations. So I've always thought the new service manual might change that up a little bit and maybe make it more like it is. The General Service Office, Chapter 10, is basically two pages. It's the birthday plan, the contributions, who may contribute, That's even a bad line there, right? I mean, all of us in service know that. The top of page 70, who may contribute to GSO? Nobody. GSO doesn't take contributions. It's not even a legal entity. Our contributions go to the General Service Board. They move the money over to AAWS to conduct our services. But I mean, there's really nothing in this chapter, which I don't know what the new thing is going to look like, but I have a feeling that might move over into AAWS GSO. Because the AAWS chapter next week is so much more detailed and really goes into the operations of what happens at GSO. Even the archives, which chapter 10, if you go to staffing and purpose and financial support, the archives are AAWS employees, they're GSO employees. There's another question here. Let's see. A third type of district was added to the district and DCM chapter to identify virtual districts in love and service. Oh, thank you. Somebody sent me that. You know what? Thank you very much, whoever just sent me that. A third type of district was added. So I'm sure there's other things that would change in the service manual because there's the report and charter committee is one of the busiest committees at the conference. And they handle all these changes in the service manual. Next question. Can any of these financial issues be attributed to the groups who are refusing to contribute, claiming that they're exercising the power of the purse under Concept 7 because they seem unwilling to accept the group conscience while citing outside issues? That's a really, really good question. From a really technical point of view, you might have seen the letter from GSO a couple of weeks ago about our problems with our software and tracking of contributions, an individual versus group. So I think it's hard for us right now to really have a handle. It would be really good to be able to run a report that says what groups contributed last year that didn't contribute this year. Then you'd be able to see. I would say, I don't think it's fair to say they're unwilling to accept group conscience. I think each group's autonomy is important. I would hope that they're very informed if they made a decision to exercise the power of the purse. And I would hope that they've sent a letter. The last couple of sets of minutes that my regional trustee has sent out, there's quite a few letters coming in from groups saying they're withholding funds. I don't know if it's enough to make a difference now, but I do know I want our software fixed so that at least we know how many groups that gave money last year didn't give money this year. Let's see. I don't, if the person who sent this question could send it to me while citing outside issues, I'd be curious what you mean, what outside issues they're citing regarding the power of the purse. Next question. Would you say that when misinformation and confusion is published in print, that it could have been prevented if more members studied the traditions and concepts and the service manual? I think members of the committee would find these mistakes before publishing. Would you say misinformation confusion is published in print? Yeah, I don't see that many things published by GSO that are. I think the problem with our software system is that the one it replaced was a disaster. And we don't like to talk about that, but it was. The one we put in the early 2000s. Excuse me if you're a baby boomer or further, but we should not let old people be the tip of the spear for our IT strategy. It makes no sense. We are not going to have cutting-edge technology if people who are older are driving those decisions. When you look at the meeting guide app, who doesn't love the meeting guide app? You know, I was asked a question this morning, a room full of nurses. I was on a PI thing. Has technology, you know, affected AA? One of the other nurses said she brought up meeting guide app because when they called the local intergroup to find meetings to go to, the meeting guide app is the perfect example. Now, the person who invented it is not that young anymore, but when he did, he was. And you know what we did? We refused it. We wanted nothing to do with it. And then he built it himself and we wound up buying it from him later on, right? How crazy is that? So that's why I'm saying don't be super hard on the current board because the system that was built in the early 2000s that we had until basically 2018 or 19, there's a saying in IT, garbage in, garbage out. We have a lot to correct from our old system, and I hope that we can fix that. I would say that when misinformation is published of any kind, it's not good and it travels fast. The third type of district I just referred to was a virtual district. Okay, next question. I have members that won't listen to the issue about literature sales doesn't cover half of GSO expenses. I had a member tell me that they came in 42 years ago, was told a dollar in the basket, and that, and what has changed? Okay. Again, someday I think we're going to have to make the conference theme the second and third shooter on the grassy knoll in Dallas, you know, because we love a good conspiracy theory. We can't help ourselves. Literature revenue has nothing to do with our finances. I'll just say that again if you're new to this whole AA math thing. Literature revenue has nothing to do with our finances. So when people say half the money we get is from literature revenue, they're distorting. And they're being a conspiracy theorist. The easiest example I could give you is this. When you give a dollar to the General Service Board, a dollar goes in the bank account. We have the spending power of a dollar. Now, it might be 99.2 cents after we deduct what it costs to take in that money, the personnel, staff time. But it's basically a dollar. When you buy something from GSO for $10, only $3 is going into the bank account. The other seven is what we call the cost of the goods sold. It's the cost of the printing and the paper and the shipping and everything else. So, when we talk about concept 12 and literature profit, we're talking about the literature profit margin. We're not talking about the overall money we take in for selling literature. But people love to scream this. They love it. It also drives me crazy. This is very unofficial and could be a little judgmental. So I'm pleading guilty. But it's my unofficial observation with a hint of judginess in it. Most of the people that I see screaming about literature profit are from areas that don't send the full amount in for their delegate to attend the General Service Conference. And I think about that like, wow, that kind of doesn't make sense. Here you are screaming about literature, but yet you hardly send any money in to support your delegate to pay their fair share of the conference. And a fair share of the conference is closer to $8,000 than it is the 2,000 or 1,600 they ask each area to send in. But many areas don't even send in the amount they ask for, which is not even close to the total cost of a delegate. So this whole thing about literature sales, you have to really listen. I've talked about this till I'm blue in the face to some people, and they will not. They're just convinced that this is why I even told the current chair of the board, the current treasurer, a couple of years ago when he was new, he put out a chart that showed contributions and literature sales. And I said, you have to show the other bar chart. You have to show literature profit margin. Because when you show just literature sales and contributions, they look like they're the same. But you're not accounting for all the expenses to create the literature. So I hope whoever asked that question that asked, but my experience is, and this is why that, I heard what you said about they came in 40 years ago, a dollar in the basket. This is why I believe in arming GSRs with the most up-to-date, accurate information. Because there's nothing worse, because I've been that GSR years ago. There's nothing worse than being the 2 or 3 or 4 year sober GSR. You think you're doing the right thing, presenting information at your group business meeting. And then what happens? The same angry old timer raises their hand, and they're not basing their facts on anything except what they just made up in their resentful mind. And the group just knows that they're the old timer. This is why we have to make sure that GSRs are loaded for bear with the facts and the relevant information. And this is why I wish we would have a one-page finance report for GSRs. No words like depreciation, no phrases like cost of goods sold. Leave that for the delegates and everybody else. Just a simple report. Last quarter, this is how much revenue we had. Contributions plus literature profit. This is our expenses. We either spent more than we had or less than we had. And the reserve fund is still underfunded, or when it becomes adequately funded, it says that. But, I still think we have to make sure that we're getting GSRs the proper information. And next week, we will deep dive into AAWS, and we have no leftover questions, which is good. Okay, Brooke, all you.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.